Morning. It is good to see you on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. And wasn't that just an incredible sight? I get you guys are used to this every year and see it. Don't take it for granted, okay? That was an amazing sight up here. And I'm assuming there's a few grandparents out here in the congregation, but I didn't hear any woo-hoos or spontaneous applause. And you know, what an amazing sight. And you can be encouraged. If anybody asks you what's the future look like for Bethel Church of the Nazarene, I'm here to tell you it's looking really good. Amen. Oh well, it's good to be with you today, and the Lord bless those parents and families, and congratulations to you grandparents. It's one of the best titles in, you know, over the years I've had lots of different titles. It's one of the best titles you can get. So, amen. Yeah, amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm 78, for seven verses of Psalm 78 today. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 1, I invite you to stand for the reading of the Word. O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He declared for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. Thank God for his word. Amen. You may be seated. In these verses of the psalm, we have a biblical call to faithfulness. Faithfulness from generation to generation. It is first of all a call to tell the stories of God's love and grace and mercy. And it is a call to teach the ways of God to every generation. It is a call to faithfulness. Now, when I read that word, when I think about that word, first of all, it's one of those words that I think that, you know, that's kind of a God word. You know, God is always faithful. Amen. You know, I love the psalmist time and time again. The English translation of in the psalm, this phrase, his unfailing kindness. There's something about those words, that phrase, God's unfailing kindness. We work at faithfulness. I hope you do. We are called to live faithful lives. But in many ways, it's a God kind of word, because God is the one. His word is always faithful, can always be trusted. But also we need to think about the fact that faithfulness is not just an expansion of the root word faith. Certainly, faith is where we begin. By grace through faith, we are saved. I mean, it's the foundation of what we believe, what we experience in Christ Jesus. Faith is what we are called to The 11th chapter of Hebrews commends the ancients, the people of God, for their faith. And we are called to a life of faith. Faithfulness, though, is something even beyond that act of. It is the not something we can do in our own human strength. It is, we're told by the Apostle Paul, a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And we're called to this life. We're not able to do it fully as the Bible calls us to, just in and of our own strength. Therefore, we lay our lives before the Lord and ask the Lord to give us that strength to live faithful lives. Now, faithfulness is not just about being. It's not just about who we are, but it's mostly about doing. Be faithful with something. It's to be faithful with what you have been entrusted. In the world of finance or law, they would speak of your fiduciary responsibility. This is what you are called to do. You have been entrusted with something, and you are to be faithful with it. First of all, we're called to be faithful with Christ's mission to his disciples. We are called, first of all, to the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We are called to be faithful with the great commission, to go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. It is what we have been entrusted with as those who are followers of Christ. But we're also called to be faithful with God's story of salvation and redemption. To be faithful with the God's story, the Bible, the Word of God. To be faithful with the doctrines of the church, the articles of faith that we have that express how we are to believe and to live as Christ followers, as Scripture has instructed, as Scripture has told us, that we are to be faithful with the stories of how God has worked in the past, knowing the stories to be able to share with the children, with the generations coming up, knowing the stories of the 2,000 years of the church and how God has been at work, knowing the stories of how God has worked in Bethel Church of the Nazarene, remembering and relaying the stories of your life, of how God has touched you and blessed you and helped you, his mercy and grace and his faithfulness. So the psalmist is declaring in verses 3 and 4, our generation will tell the deeds of the Lord. Our generation will tell the deeds of the Lord. About 20 years ago, I discovered a management administration kind of resource. It was something that it came forth first of all in the business world, and then it was used in other kind of organizations and certainly nonprofit organizations, and it was something that I even brought into my world, into the church world. It's called appreciative inquiry. If you've ever been a part of an organization or a business, and you come to the annual meeting, and usually what they do is they put all kinds of charts and graphs on the screen or in a notebook of some kind, and then you look at all the ways that we didn't quite reach all the goals that we had set, and what's wrong with us, and what do we need to fix. I don't know. Maybe you're looking at me like you've never had to do that before, but I think it has been in the past kind of a standard way of doing it. Well, these folks developed this idea that We should start with what's going well. Start with the positive. Start with the things that we have seen accomplished. So again, it's called appreciative inquiry. So when you start to reflect on how has this year gone, you don't start with, well, how did we fail and what goals did we come up with and what do we need to improve and what do we need to work on. You start with the high points. You start with what really went well. By the way, I would just encourage you, Bethel Church of the Nazarene, in these days of transition, in these days of searching for new pastoral leadership and reflecting on all that God has done and all that God has for the future, I'd encourage you, don't get caught down always thinking about looking in what do we need to improve, what's wrong. Think about the mountain peaks, the really good things that have happened. So this idea of appreciative inquiry, it starts by asking the question, what has gone well? What is really good? It probably would not be a bad habit for you when you think about your own life. And what God has been doing in your life. We all have those times when we think about, well, boy, I wish this had gone this way or this would have happened or, you know, I set these goals and didn't quite attain them. But to be able to start with, what has God been doing? What is God at work at in Bethel Church of the Nazarene? What is God doing in your life? And think about those high points, and then don't keep them to yourself. Share them. Tell the next generation. Tell your kids. Tell your grandkids your testimony. We will share the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Our God has called us to live in faith and trust and to keep telling the stories. Several years ago, I came across a story that I think wonderfully describes this life of what it means to have faith, to really put your trust in someone. It might be a story that you yourself read. It showed up a number of years ago in Reader's Digest. It may be a story that you've heard of another preacher or teacher tell, but it's a story about a man that was going to take a backpacking trip through the Mojave Desert in the southwestern part of the United States. It was a several-day trip, and he was had all of his equipment, but of course couldn't carry enough water to make it through the entire time. So he had a map that had been provided by some organization that had mapped out the places that you could find where there would be a water available along the trip. One of the days in his journey, he was almost out of water and was headed toward one of these places. He came up upon, out in the distance, he saw it, and he walked up and came upon an old shack that was wind-torn, almost falling down. And out front was a pump. And on this pump was wired onto the pump, a tin cup, and inside was fastened a note. He took the tin cup off and opened the note, and here is what he read. This pump was all right as of, and the date was written in. The washer dries out, so it has to be primed. Look under the white rock. He looked, sure enough, there was a white rock. There's a bottle with the cork end up. There's enough water in the bottle to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour a quarter of the bottle in and let it set for a while to soak, and then pour the rest of the water in and pump like crazy. This well has never run dry. Fill the bottle and put it back for the next guy. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't drink the water first, or there won't be enough to prime the pump. So, what would you do? You need water. You have a bottle of water. Are you going to believe? Are you going to trust some guy named Desert Pete? This story illustrates this life of faith and trust. First of all, there is always an object to faith. There's always an object to faith. It just doesn't make sense to just say believe. Believe what? Believe in whom? You believe something or someone. In this case, you had to believe some guy named Desert Pete. But it always involves faith, always involves trust in someone or something. Are we now walking in a place where we truly are putting our faith and trust in God, in His Word, in His promises? There's always an object to faith. Secondly, faith always requires risk. It seems to me that it would have been rather risky to take that bottle of water that is that you desperately need and pour it into an old, dried-out well pump. But if you can figure it out, if it always makes sense, it's not faith. If you have to be in control of the situation, you're not truly willing to risk. Put yourself in the place to risk. I heard about a physics teacher that was trying to teach the physics of the pendulum, and so set up the classroom in such a way to he had a pendulum, a rope suspended from the ceiling, and on the bottom of the rope was a very sharp two-headed axe. So on the board went through the class with all of the formulas, talking about the power of gravity, talking about how a pendulum works, talking about how that it at one point it will swing to another point and will always swing back to another point, and just going through all of it with the class. And when it got done with all of the formulas and all of the lecture, looked at the class and said, "So, do you believe this?" Well, of course, as students, we would go, "Sure." He said, "Now, there's a point here where when this axe is let loose here and it comes back, it will not cross this point, right?" "Yeah." "Do I have a volunteer for someone who would stand right here in front of this line?" You know, they loved to believe the formula, and nobody wanted to put their neck on the line. Faith always involves risk. Then, faith requires action. After we trust, after we are willing to risk, we have to put it into action. Desert Pete wrote on the note, "Then pump like crazy." As we tell the stories of God's praiseworthy deeds and are encouraging others by being willing to be right in the middle of what God is doing in our life and in their life, we have to be willing to put it into action. Faith is passed on to others. That life of testimony of what God is doing is passed on to others. Just like Desert Pete said, fill the bottle back up and put it under the rock for the next guy. Our call is to keep living lives of faith and trust and to tell the story. So, verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 78, the next generation will know the ways of the Lord. Notice the progression. God has established his law. God has given the truth of his law, and that truth will not change. We are then to tell the next generation and the generation after them. Then they will know. We cannot blame the next generation if they don't know, if we have not been willing to live it and to tell it. And we must model what we teach. Remember the biblical model from Joshua 4:6, that when your children, as they were going across the river to take the stones and pile the stones, the 12 stones on the other side as a monument, as a testimony. And then God said, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? You will be able to tell them the stories of the mighty deeds of God, teaching them the ways of God and telling them the stories of God. The next generation will know then the ways of the Lord. And then verse 7, then all generations will trust in the Lord. We are in such a time of rapid cultural change. Certainly in the 2,000-year history of the church, there has always been change. There have always been challenges, cultural, societal kinds of challenges to the followers of Christ. That's nothing new. But it seems to me, as you look at history, as you read history, as you know, even in your own life, it seems to me that those changes are just coming faster and faster all the time. And there are times when it's hard for us to imagine how we can even make a difference, and yet we're called to tell the story of what God has done and what God is doing, and to live lives of faithfulness. I know that we can long for the days when it seemed like in our own culture, in our own nation, that the church had seemed to have more impact and more influence. And our prayer as those who are followers of Christ Jesus continues to be what he taught us, to pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But in the midst of the challenges, to be able to share with the next generation and the next generation what God has taught, how God has blessed, his grace and mercy and favor. So don't give up on that. Follow the biblical model. And my prayer is that all who come behind us will find us faithful. So our generation will tell the deeds of the Lord. The next generation will know the ways of the Lord. And all generations will trust in the Lord. And our question is, will those who come behind us find us faithful? In the 1980s, Steve Green made popular a song that says it so well. The chorus was, oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful. Would you stand together with me? Lord, your call to your people is clear. We pray this morning for these young families and these young children that stood before us today. We pray that within their lives they will see those who are living faithful lives, and they will hear the truth of your word, and they will hear about the mighty deeds of the Lord. And what we pray for them, we pray for all of our children, all of our grandchildren, every generation that is yet to come. Lord, I pray that as you speak to us individually this morning, that you would remind us not only of the call to live faithful lives, but to share that with the younger generations in meaningful ways, in purposeful ways, lifting up the name of the Lord, his grace, mercy, and love. Hear our prayer this morning. Grant, O Lord, our desire that those who come behind us will find us faithful. They leave with this benediction from Proverbs 3:3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Go in grace and peace. Love and serve the Lord. Amen.